there's something about creating solidarity. So there's something about working to the aims and preferences of the people or the community that you're working with, and having the space for those to emerge through research projects, going in with an opportunity to open a conversation and to start a new path. I think that really works. And part of that is about finding mutual benefits. So why is the partnership attractive to the people who are involved in it? What is everybody going to get out of it? And how can that be leveraged? What is it that the people within the community actually want to happen? And trying to find that those kind of mutual benefits, or having the opportunity to change and the potential to kind of make things different as you go in order to meet the needs of people. There's something about this problem of extraction and having a respect for indigenous knowledge and who has access to that and what level of access that should be. Making sure that you don't go in thinking that you're going to just kind of turn up and take, we call it quick and dirty research elsewhere, but that is absolutely not what's going to happen going into communities. The thing that happened for me was creating a really critical and friendly exchange that reviews how the partnership progressed. One of the things that I found working with Māori particularly was that there's an absolute honesty, and it kind of reminds me of my big Irish family as well, but there's an absolute honesty, so everything's on the table. If you're not doing something, or if you're doing something that people don't like, it was out on the table. People were very upfront and honest about that in a critical but very friendly way. So in a kind way, but something which didn't let anything pass that people didn't want to happen. And that was very reassuring, because it meant that I knew that people weren't letting me just do stuff that was problematic in any way. People were stopping me and going, no, this didn't work here. And that was a good thing. And lastly, I'd just say, what is the potential for transformation through the partnership? Whose transformations might it be, and how might that be attained? So often when we're applying for grants and funding, it doesn't give us a lot of scope to write in change and transformation along the way in research projects. We sort of have to pretend that we know what the outcomes are going to be in order to create the impacts and things. And it would be much more beneficial, really, if we could create some space there for that potential for transformation, for change to come through the relationship and through the research, and make that happen on the ground.
It is very much, I think, about the people who are involved and where they're coming from. And I think that's one of the things that we look at first of all, is who is this person? Do they know themselves? What's their agenda? What do they want? And we have a saying, ngāko tapatahi, which is a one-sided heart. So it's kind of looking through inside that person and seeing who they are. Do they know themselves? What's their agenda? What do they want to get out of this? And are they being honest about this? And do they really understand that as well? We can do thousands, unlimited numbers of topics of research that could be useful. But if you don't have the right processes and people, the agendas, the kaupapa, then it won't make a difference. So it's not just about understanding the supposed other, which is sometimes what people think of, I think, with cultural safety and cultural competency. But if you learn a way of behaving, or if you learn the language, that you'll be safe and able to work with people from other cultures. People from ministries and institutions and academics will come and go, but those people in those communities will remain. And if they're not there in person, what they know and what they understand and their experiences will be passed down through generations. And so it's understanding if there's a commitment from people within particular ministries or institutions, is that commitment with that person? Because if they go, what will happen, and will the promises be broken? The most positive experiences I've had is when it's been a kaupapa set by Māori communities, things that they want to achieve. And then the call goes out and people gather around that particular kaupapa or agenda or aspiration and come on as partners. Non-Indigenous people don't determine or lead what's going on, but they join and they contribute to what's happening. And that, I think, is where the most creative things happen as well. Things that people can't expect, or that, as was said before, you can't necessarily write into a research proposal. When people come together with their own knowledge and their own expertise, but respecting and understanding this is a space where new things might emerge through the joining and the contributions of everybody involved, where people step forward and step back at particular times, depending on their knowledge, their roles, and their skills all working to a common purpose. And that's where I've seen the most positive things happen in transformation with Māori agendas of what Māori want to achieve.
In Ontario, we have treaties, and the treaties lay out the obligations of the treaty partners, so settlers and non-Indigenous people. So to me, I see part of the research as fulfilling those obligations to people. They required certain kind of conduct and behavior from people. Increasingly, Indigenous communities and organizations are developing their own protocols because they still remain unhappy. Researchers, whoever they are, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, have to comply and respect those different protocols. One of the ones that I like is one that's on Manitoulin for Anishinaabe communities, and embedded within it is the teachings of the seven original teachings or seven grandmother teachings. And one of them is love. So they have to answer the question, how does their research show love for future generations? And the elders review any proposal coming in, and your proposal has to be able to answer that question. Not too many protocols have that as a requirement. If people know you and trust you and feel comfortable, like, they will hold you accountable. There's a lot of work to get to the point where people trust the relationship enough that it's going to withstand mistakes. It's going to withstand conflict. It's going to withstand all those ups and downs that humans have.
We take big risks as Indigenous people when we bring others into our research project, when we bring non-Indigenous people in. Because basically what we're saying is this person is to be trusted, and that person comes in under our protection, basically. I remember working on one project and I was stressing out because I was trying to get all the right people together and to develop this process and relationships. And then Pākehā, a non-Indigenous colleague, said to me, well, you're doing everything you can and you're doing the best you can. If it doesn't work out, you'll know that you tried. I said, not working out is not an option. If it doesn't work out, I'm going to have to hide under the bed for several years or emigrate. You know, because they know my mother, they know my grandparents, they know now my children and generations to come. So it's not just about whether a project works out or doesn't work out. It's all those accountabilities through people knowing who you are, where you're connected, and what it means when you are that face in that community. And when you do say, here's a colleague that I want to bring into this project, or I think would be valuable in terms of what we're doing.
Lots to think about, a long way to go, Roz, but I hope some optimism in this discussion today. What do you take from it all?
Well, actually, I think it's been quite interesting doing this project with Deb and Helen and Tula. I'm hoping where we've ended up is something that was steered around what our Indigenous colleagues, Helen and Deb, thought would be helpful for non-Indigenous researchers to know about collaboration. We've hopefully sort of developed some resources that support non-Indigenous research to think about their processes and their assumptions and their behaviour in the way that we've been talking about. And that this is what Indigenous researchers will feel is useful for them in that respect.